Welcome to Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to do a quick dive in and do some updates here on some of the off-season tracking stuff. I've just been rolling out player profile after player profile, just sort of diving full-on into the thing. Hopefully we'll have 35, 40 of them done, something like that, by the time this goes along. So I wanted to double hit this because I want to keep doing this daily stuff in terms of the, you know, the prospect, get all the content you guys can possibly get for your rookie drafts. And it's funny because those end up taking, Chad has this saying, it's like, you know, brevity. And it's like, sorry, I couldn't write a shorter letter. I ran out of time, right? Basically, is it concise and brevity takes more time. It's funny that those podcasts, 8 to 12 minutes is typically the range for those player profile ones, and they take me more than like an hour long stretch one would do, right? Watch it all the tape. I write it all down. Like I write a little scouting report on each one of them. So, so I did want to throw this in there as well. We're still tracking other stuff and not just doing the player stuff, but I have a little bit of a stash of them, I guess, if you will. So I wanted to touch base on some of this stuff. So again, updating the tracker on the website, you know, you got your off-season tracking stuff. In terms of all your picks are updated now, in terms of who's got what, all throughout the draft. So we'll try and keep that updated. Again, I usually can't do it during the draft when they get traded. It just becomes too much typically. But I want to give you an idea sort of what we're looking at in terms of competition going into this draft. So those are all updated. You can check that out. Let's just run down some of the needs stuff really quick. We'll just work down that a little bit. Jacksonville up at the top of the board. I don't think they're in the quarterback market. No running backs. I certainly think they'll be in the wide receiver market. So that's a yes. I think they'll be in the tight end market as well. They've already been had a visit with Trey McBride. So I think that they're probably in that market. That's no guarantee that they take him. But it'd be interesting, you know, in that second round range, you know, are they, you know, if they're a slide back or something at 33, do they get back in into that, you know, into the later part of the second, maybe land a guy like McBride to potentially go along with, with Trevor Lawrence and have some help there. So they definitely could be in that market as well. And they've got two round three picks as well. Okay, Detroit next up. I think this is the entire fulcrum of the draft starts here with whether or not they go quarterback. I get the sense they're not going to, but I wouldn't necessarily rule it out. They can build. I mean, they've got five picks in the top 97. And if they, you know, if they can hit on three starters in this, you know, and really sort of nail this, they could, I think, really get a jump start to this team. So I'm excited for them as we go, you know, as they go through. We'll see if they go quarterback. You know, I doubt there's going to be a big trade down market. Or a trade up market, I guess. I guess I'd be surprised if there's a ton of interest in the pick just because there's not a natural spot there. I think the most natural spot for a trade down would actually be at 5 ahead of Carolina, considering the Giants have both 5 and 7. So if there is a team that wants to jump up for quarterback, the Saints jumping to a spot like 5 to the Giants would make a lot of sense. They got multiple firsts. And the Giants really want to build this out. So, they've got 5 picks currently in the top 81. Another first would aid in that process. So it'd be interesting there. I think that's a fulcrum point. Houston, I actually downgraded them in terms of wide receiver market. I think maybe they're in, maybe they're not. I mean, for them, in terms of teams that can really build it out this year, 3, 13, 37, 68, 80, 107, 108. So in the top 7 picks, or sorry, in the top 108 picks, they have 7 of those. So really good there. They're amongst the highest in terms of pedigree. Again, you're backfilling the loss of Deshaun Watson, so you have that. But this is a team-building exercise, building from a lot of depth. I don't know what the market is going to be to trade up to 3. And they can get a big-time difference maker up there as well in positional value. But they have so many needs. Like, they could really just take, you know, there's a lot of guys that they can take. If they could add another top 100 pick or a couple top 100 picks, I mean, that would really help them a lot, and they can address a lot of needs. So be interested in that. Again, I think maybe in the running back market, they just added Marlon Mack, so we'll see what that sort of brings to the to the party, I guess, in terms of needs. I'm not super interested in Mack. He's sat out there for a while, and I think he's an interesting depth guy, but I don't think he's any. I don't think he's like a lock, for instance, to be a injury away guy by any means. Okay, next up is your Jets here, 4-10, and they got 35, 38, 69, 111. So they themselves have 6 picks in the top 111, actually 7 in the top 117 there. No quarterback. I don't think, they're going to try and ride this out. They may be in the running back market. We'll see. I think Melvin Gordon's still out there, potential competition as well. Yes. I mean, they're standing outside like their stadium with a sign that says we are in the wide receiver market. DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, McLaurin, Debo Samuel just defriended the 49ers on Twitter or Instagram or something. Like, this is the year of the diva wide receiver temper tantrum social media thing. So we'll see there. I think they're certainly in the market. I'd be surprised if that offer for 10 for DK Metcalf wasn't really seriously considered for Seattle. Again, I don't know how deep their rebuild's going to be with Pete Carroll being like the oldest or second oldest quarterback in the second oldest coach in the league. I don't know how deep their rebuild's going to be, but they'll certainly jumpstart it and keep them cheap for a while. So we'll see. We'll see with that. Maybe there's more to that. I'm not sure. But they definitely seem like a team that is, I mean, they were in on Tyreek Hill. Like, they're definitely in the wide receiver thing. I wouldn't feel great about Corey Davis or Elijah Moore. I think they, by the time the 10th pick is made, I'd be really surprised if they don't have some wide receiver help to go along with this. The Giants, maybes all across the board. I will note, though, the Jets, Olave, Wilson, and Williams all have top 30 visits. The Giants here, Brian Robinson, Breece Hall, James Cook, all meeting there. So I think that might tell us something about the future of Saquon Barkley with the Giants. I think it will be elsewhere next year. They play this out. I think I'd be surprised if they weren't in the running back market. They weren't in the trade market. I don't know what you get for 1 year of Saquon Barkley on an inflated contract. I don't know what you get for that in the trade market, but if I was a team that was contending and looking to make a difference, you look at teams like Buffalo that have, that could use a running back, and they're like, oh, they're in the Breece Hall. Like, I think you could get Barkley for a lot cheaper, I would imagine, given the contract and the length of that and everything. I'd be surprised if he cost that much, and that would be a way to do it. Again, for the Giants, it would make some sense to clean up that spot on the roster and get cheaper in the whole nine there. So especially if they don't have any intention to really bring him back. I don't know, maybe it's a third, maybe it's a second, something like that. You'll think comp pick wise, maybe it's more than a third round comp pick would sort of be my thought on that as a potential trade asset. But they appear definitely in the running back market. So look for that again. 3 picks on day 2. So that could certainly be the range for them. Okay, Carolina's in the quarterback market. They have pick 6, and then they don't pick again until 137. So I feel pretty confident they're not in the running back market. I mean, they might be in the receiver market, but again, I don't know how they really address that in any substantial way. They should be in the tight end market, but again, I don't know how they address it in any substantial way. So this seems like quarterback or bust really for them at this point. Chicago, no on quarterback, no on running back. I think they're definitely in the receiver market. We'll see where that puts, them. They don't have a ton to do. I mean, 39, 48, that's really the first time they really have much of an opportunity to do it. So we'll see there. And there hasn't really been a big push there at the receiver position for them to get better. So, I'm a little concerned on Justin Fields. And if you were concerned about Justin Fields, if you were like the front office, they don't appear to be building around him. And that's a bit of a concern. Again, there could be cap consequences for that. There could be, you know, a whole bunch of reasons. But if you're trying to give him an honest shot to be a franchise quarterback and you're not really helping him, gives you and Darnell Mooney is your wide receiver one, and Cole Kmet is basically like a second option. Not great in terms of supporting cast. So there's, I think, trouble ahead for them. It gives me a little bit of pause in terms of how I feel about Fields based on how they're building. Okay, Atlanta's next up, and yeah, certainly in on quarterback would make some sense. I saw a note today. Actually, I was reading Peter Schrager's mock draft, and Peter Schrager mentioned that he didn't think that Mariota was just a for now guy. And I thought that was an interesting way of putting it. Maybe they're trying to build him out. I find fascinating the logic that, hey, listen, Arthur Smith and Marcus Mariota were together in Tennessee. They benched him for Ryan Tannehill. Like, I find that logic fascinating. About be like, oh yeah, like they really believe in him. Like, really? Like, that's what your takeaway is? You know, it's like, hey, you know, this guy demoted me. But yeah, like we're like simpatico, like really like long-term franchise changing, the guy that I demoted, totally same page. Got it. I'm like, wait a second. This is what we're entrusting our franchise to. Okay. Got it. We'll see how that all unfolds. Again, this feels like a poor man's version of the, and I guess the not committing top 30 assets to this in terms of NFL draft picks, this feels like the version of Frank Reich and Carson Wentz down there in Atlanta with this Mariota Arthur Smith reunion. So we'll see how that all unfolds. Again, they haven't locked themselves into doing anything in a way that I think commits Mariota long term. Mariota is one I'm interested in exploring. I have him in a few spots where I just sort of added him. I should explore the trade market here. Maybe I'll do a show on his trade, including his trade value here going forward. Okay, Denver up. I still think there's a chance that they address the running back market, and I think that they're probably out in terms of wide receiver. Maybe they're in on tight end would be the only thing that I would say in terms of other skill positions. They have depth at wide receiver. I'd be surprised if they're in there. But certainly tight end Albert O. I mean, he's serviceable. I'm not sure he's a full-on solution. And if you want to go, you know, in day two, even they have multiple picks in like the top 120, right? That 115 and 116 as well. So that could be a tight end in that range as well, just to provide some depth. I'd be surprised if they didn't try and amp that up a little bit. So I think they're maybe in the market there. Seattle is next up. I think they're in the quarterback market for sure. We'll see how that unfolds. Everyone thinks it's Drew Locke. I think there's a reasonable chance that Geno Smith, like Geno Smith actually graded out better than Russell Wilson last year. He looked about the top 20. You know, there's some conversation, hey, they could bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. Same grade as Geno Smith. And this would be about the same age that Ryan Tannehill actually stepped into a starting job in Tennessee. Again, much different career arcs to date. But not totally unreasonable chance, I wouldn't say. He is currently a free agent. He hasn't been signed yet, but they do this thing where they kind of wait on that. Again, what does that tell us? I'm not sure. We'll see. We'll see what this is. I wouldn't put it. I think he's still drawing live at this point to be a potential starter for Seattle. Again, we'll see what they do at 9. And they've got day 2 picks as well. And maybe they do what basically Denver did with Drew Locke, which is, hey, we're picking someone at 40 or 41, and we're just going to have a competition, right? We've seen that work for them before, right? We've seen that work in the third round. We've seen that work for them before at the quarterback position. But I wouldn't put anything past them. And again, we've been at this spot before, right? Which was like, hey, Matt Flynn, big money investment in Matt Flynn. And then it wasn't. All right. Next up, Washington, certainly in... certainly would have been in on the quarterback position, and they don't appear to be now. Jalen Weidmeyer was actually brought in for a visit. So I marked them from not being in the tight end market to maybe being in the tight end market. So that's one I think we'll watch for. And there was some news about some running back stuff with them too, potentially being in on, you know, that they could be in on some of these, some of the guys at the running back position. Tyron Davis Price was brought in as well. There's not a great, I will say this, there's not a great tracker in terms of like these visits, but Breece Hall also visited with Washington earlier in the month. So did Kenneth Walker, right? So that's a little bit of an alarm bell there going on for Antonio Gibson. So just for what that's worth, I would have a lot of caution going on there, especially considering they brought back J.D. McKissic and everything. Like, this isn't trending in a positive direction for him. So I put them firmly in the maybe category where I didn't before. All right, Minnesota, they bring back Kirk Cousins. Dalvin Cook's there. I'd be interested in sort of what their 12 to 24-month plan at the running back position is. I think that that is probably maybe an under-discussed story. And again, if you're a team, they're in a really interesting spot, and I don't necessarily envy, their GM, because he's coming, Kwefe Edofe-Mensah, he's coming from a very, non-traditional way of doing this, basically a pure analytics background, which really hasn't happened as a GM before for an NFL team, not a scouting and not really a cap guy either. That's a very different arc in terms of being a GM, and he's got some of these investments. Like, he's kind of now wed himself to Kirk Cousins, right? Which, for better or worse, like, we could sort of debate that ad nauseum, and we're Kirk Cousins fans around these parts. But he also does next year have Dalvin Cook on the books for $14.1 million. He's on the books for 11.9 this year, right? 15 in 2024, right? And you get into a point where he's going to be 28, making $14.1 million. Like, there's going to have to either be some sort of rework there or something, right? You would imagine along the way that they are not going to want to carry that number. It becomes guaranteed in March of next year, his entire salary. So you would think by that time, there's probably some sort of change in his status, whether he's cut, whether he's, extended, restructured, whatever it is. And at the same time, Alexander Mattison is going to be a free agent. So I do think that is I would suspect that they don't address the running back position in this draft, right, with anything meaningful, considering they have other needs and the like, and I think that they want to contend. But that is a storyline that I think we need to think about here over the next 6 to 9 months, about what the structure of their running back situation looks like. I do think Alexander Mattison not drawing dead for a 2023 starter job, whether it's there or someplace else. All right, Cleveland, they're out of the quarterback market, I would presume, because they brought in Deshaun Watson. We'll see what that looks like ultimately. Kareem Hunt with them as well. I'm interested in the Kareem Hunt. The Kareem Hunt contract angle is one that really interests me. He is due a $1 million roster bonus, actually, just as we recorded. So he's on the roster, and that probably speaks to him making it, right? So he's due $6.25 million this year is his cap number, and they could save all of it by cutting him, but they just paid him a roster bonus like earlier this week. So I think that probably means that he's back for another year, and we'll see. I don't know if he plays it out or if they do an extension with him or what. But that might harm, put a little cap on some of the Dearness Johnson love that we have. I do think they're still in the wide receiver market. Brandon Cooks is off the table. I don't know if I mentioned it earlier with Houston, but that makes them, I think, a little bit less likely to adjust the position with Brandon Cooks coming back. We'll see. There's a possibility it's Will Fuller. Like, I do think there's other possibilities there in Cleveland. They could potentially draft someone as well, maybe on day two, to go along with Amari Cooper. And I think they're actually, I was surprised about this. There's a potential they're in the tight end market as well. Grant Dulcich, the tight end, has actually visited with them. So we'll keep our eyes open for that. All right, Baltimore's next up. They have a lot of day three picks, like 100, 110, 119, 128, 139, 141, 197. And they wouldn't rule out drafting a running back at all. They were asked this week, hey, what's the plan? Basically, if someone's there, we'll take someone. And that was a little bit eye-opening, right? People are, one of the things about this class, I think, is if there's a takeaway from the show about this class is really, if you're, if you're convinced that one of the running back situations is solved, I'd be careful on that assumption, because when you start looking around and you start really like sort of counting numbers and sort of counting where spots are, I'm not like, there isn't a clear landing spot for some of these guys, right? So if you just assume that based on talent, Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker, maybe there's a couple other guys that are going to go on date in round three, but just those two guys, like there's not a natural landing spot for a lot of these guys. Maybe Miami, but they're on day three, so that's not a natural one. You start looking around and you're like, huh, like what's a natural sort of step in, not a ton of competition, team really has a big need type of job. And there's not a ton out there, which is really the thing for me. And as you start looking at these, you can say, well, okay, if Baltimore at 45 or 76 or something sees someone that they like, are they set at running back right now? You know, with the injuries to Dobbins and with the injuries to, Gus Edwards, are they set at running back? I'm not sure. You look at Miami is another one, but again, that's on day three. But as you start looking down here, just think about the fact that there's not a natural spot for some of these guys. And if that's going to be the case, they're still going to be drafted, I think, in round two, round three. They're going to hurt somebody. They're going to hurt somebody. So just keep that in mind. As we start looking at these, especially we get down the board a little bit further. All right, so Baltimore we just addressed. I don't think they're going to, I'd be surprised if they went skill position. I would, maybe running back on day three, something like that. But I'd be surprised if they go wide receiver, tight end. That just doesn't really seem, they just hit Bateman, and they're pretty good at the position with some youth and Marquise Brown and the like there. So I would be surprised if they adjust the position. Okay, Miami, I think that they're out on quarterback for now, and we'll sort of see what that is going forward. They are potentially still in on running back with Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds there. I don't necessarily think it precludes them. Again, what does that look like at 102, 125, and then two like later picks outside the top 220? What does that look like? I'm not sure it's a ton of competition, so maybe they're interested there. Maybe a developmental tight end as well, but I don't think they're going to adjust the receiver position. Okay, Indianapolis, I think maybe they're in at quarterback would sort of be my thought. Do they draft someone? They've got picks on day two. Someone falls to them. Maybe they draft someone to go along, to sort of develop behind Matt Ryan. He's basically there on like a 2-year deal essentially at this point. How do they view that, right? How much confidence do they view that with? How do they view that in terms of, is this a spot where we want to leverage this pick for upside, right? And we can draft someone that can really help us now versus develop. I'm not sure, right? And I don't know. What's interesting to me is you look at some of these, like Philly's really secure about some of these things. I'm not sure that Indy, as much as their front office should probably be secure, Chris Ballard should probably be secure, Frank Wright should probably be secure, I don't know if that's true. And Jim Irsay is just crazy enough that he might fire a really good head coach and fire a really good GM, because they're basically dealing with the consequences of Andrew Luck retiring in his prime, right? And that's really, just think if, like in 18 months, if Josh Allen just walked away, and you were like, wait, what happened? Andrew Luck wasn't quite at that level, but like, you just start thinking about some of the guys that what some of these teams would do. And then you spend the next, like, it takes a long time to land a guy like that. And like, they're not used to being in quarterback purgatory, because they drafted first twice into Hall of Fame, 101 quarterback one type classes, right? And they a hit. We'll give them a hit, credit for a hit on Lock. They hit twice, right? And then, you know, it's like Green Bay. Like, what is Green Bay doing quarterback purgatory? They haven't done it in generations, right? It's just not where they've been. And I don't think they know how to deal with that, right? I don't blame their front office. I don't blame their coaching staff. But it gives me, I don't know if that's, like, if that, what I would consider like a reasonable forgiveness to the front office and the coaching staff is shared by their ownership. I couldn't say. So we'll see there. They seem pretty simpatico with how they handled this Wentz thing. So that I think is, you know, maybe a positive there, but I'm not sure how they feel on that. Again, is there someone that falls to like 42 and they kind of go the Deshaun Kizer, like, hey, let's give him a shot and just sort of see where he goes. I wouldn't shock me. Chargers. I think it's possible they're in on a running back. I've seen that mocked a little bit. So that would be something I just pay a little bit of mind to. Again, it's either 17 or 79. So I'm not sure if that's a direct, I'm not sure what that is, but they have done things that have been unexpected in the past. And I had a theory when they were at least in San Diego that they were, that they could hide stuff from the media really well, and that they were basically a leak. A lot of their picks are leak free. I don't think 17 is a landing spot for Breece Hall or anything like that, but day two, something like that, and round four, addressing the running back position, especially with Joshua Kelly there, and it's just not entirely, it's not very inspiring. That wouldn't surprise me if they were to add to that. I do think they're in on wide receiver. Basically, everyone is mocking them there. That's a pretty commonly discussed landing spot for a wide receiver like a Chris Olave, someone like that. So keep that in mind. I don't necessarily think that hurts Keenan Allen, but maybe it's a ceiling capper over the long term. Okay, next up here, the Saints. I have to imagine the reason they traded up with Philly was to get a quarterback. Like, you don't do that in the first week of April if you're trying to draft especially to where they did, like in the middle part of the first round, to do that, right? So I would be really surprised if that was their move, and maybe that they have to package 16 and 19 to go up to, again, where would you have to go? Well, if you, that could get to five. That could get to five. It's probably going to take a little bit more than that to get all the way to five, but I think that gets to five. That gets to five on like the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, for example, as well. So that wouldn't surprise me. Again, maybe it gets to 10 where the Jets are with the second pick, something like that. If Atlanta's in a position to move down, I don't know if intra-divisional stuff is going to happen there. How much willingness there's going to be to help each other. But I do think that gets in that range. It wouldn't surprise me if they go quarterback. I don't think you make a trade like that if you're not going quarterback. That's just my assumption, but we'll see. They are also in the receiver market as well. They've had visits with Malik Willis as well, for what that's worth. They had visits already with Jameson Williams, Sky Moore, and Treylon Burks. So lots of guys, lots of offensive skill position players in the hopper for them. And we'll see, two top 20 picks, what they land there for sure. Philly, I don't think they're in the quarterback market this year. I think they're going to roll it out with Jalen Hurts. All the dating comps still apply with Jalen Hurts. Could be in the market for running back. Would not shock me. I've seen them linked to some guys. They haven't had any official visits yet, but we've seen them. I wouldn't shock me if on day two or that they address the position early day three. Wouldn't shock me at all. Wide receiver, I think that they're absolutely in the market for a wide receiver. I think there's been plenty of discussion that they're going to address it via trade as well. So we'll see there where that ultimately lands. But I think that's certainly an indictment on Jalen Reagor. So I do think that they are looking for assets. And again, they push off another pick, and it's totally of, hey, we're going to build a really compelling reason for a quarterback to want to come here, whether that's Kyler Murray, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether that's, you know, whoever that is into the future, that they deem they could potentially land, right? That seems like what they're trying to build right now. Wouldn't shock me if they go quarterback on day two or day three either, I guess, now that we sort of mentioned that. So I'll keep them in the maybe column at quarterback, even though I don't think they're going to draft one in round one. They just seem to be a quarterback factory and just want to keep sort of being in that business, which is quite frankly lucrative. They got a first, right? They're still using the payoff of the Carson Wentz trade, right? So that's good. Pittsburgh, and I talked about that in the Thursday. By the way, I talked about sort of some of the implications of that trade and some stuff on the Thursday pod, so you can go check that out. All right, Pittsburgh's, yes, in the market for quarterback. I don't think they're in the market for any other skill positions at this point. So Malik Willis, constantly linked there. We'll see how that unfolds. Okay, the Patriots, no at quarterback. I'm putting maybe at running back, even though I think it's unreasonable, considering they brought in Leonard Fournette. And it looks like, I don't know if they made him an offer or whatnot, but then Tampa got really serious and brought him back. I don't know if the Patriots were a stalking horse or whatever. I don't know. Maybe they knew it would piss off Brady. I don't know. Whatever that was, I'm open to it being a maybe there for them addressing the position. Wide receiver, I think that they are probably out of it this year, would sort of be my hunch. But it wouldn't shock me. And again, a day two pick for them at wide receiver wouldn't shock me. They brought in Devontae Parker. I don't think that solves any issues. Right? I know they're like, oh, now they have a guy that, you know, can take over the Nikhil, what they wanted Nikhil Harry to be. I was like, do they? I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them to address the position again. And I think they're out on tight end. All right, Vegas. They haven't extended Derek Carr yet, but I think they'll probably do that. So I have them in the no category. They're just not in a position to address it this year. Maybe at running back, but again, it's on day three. I'm not super concerned about it. No at wide receiver, no at tight end. They just don't really have the assets to do it this year either, to make any splashes at those positions. I'm putting no for Arizona with the Kyler Murray saga. We're going to call it a saga. Arizona, I do think, is potential for a running back. That's Breece Hall area. If you think he's going to make it in the first round, they pick a 23. It's not entirely impossible that they address that position. What would be hilarious to me, and we don't have any official tracking on their picks. What would be hilarious to me is if they started lining up some top 30, you know, some of the in-house stuff, the visits there with quarterbacks. It would be just hilarious if they just they went back at Kyler Murray with some of that stuff. So I haven't seen anything like that. They're more like developmental guys that they've been in. Brian Robinson had a top 30 with them as well. Again, these trackers are all over the place in terms of where people are getting information and stuff from. So there's not a complete, like, official list, it doesn't look like, at this point. But again, I think the running back thing is interesting. And I think I saw them mocked as well to draft one on day two. So just keep that in mind. Dallas, no on quarterback. I don't think they're going to address the running back position either. They're certainly in on wide receivers. They've had visits with Burks and Olave, tight ends, Widmer, Cade Otton, and Jeremy Ruckert out of Ohio State, all there as well. I did mention earlier, I forgot to mention with Baltimore, Baltimore had a visit with Zamir White. Buffalo, I think that they're potentially in on a wide receiver. Wouldn't shock me at 25. If Jameson Williams was there at 25, I would run, like, I would bike. It's like I would have a ramp and I would bike there. Like, if I was the guy with the card, like, running people over, it's fine. Like, smash, it's going to be high on our smash level. That would be my thought. I don't think he's going to be there just because of my level of enthusiasm for that pick. I don't think he's going to be there. But we'll see. I should mention, and I had put this initially at a no. Let me just take a step back here on Arizona. I think they're in the wide receiver market. I had it as a no in the column. But I do think they're in the market there. and maybe it's in day two, something like that. I've seen Jalen Dotson mocked there. Cliff Kingsbury can't help himself in talking about Rondell Moore. It's getting a little creepy already. So we'll see. That's a positive train going forward value-wise. And maybe you can jump off before you actually have to take the production bet. But I do want to mention that I think that they are a potential landing spot. So if you want to sort of jump off on Rondell Moore now, I don't have a ton of them. I got a couple of shares, but I might try and, you know, once OTAs get going on and spring mini camps and that sort of thing, if it's, you know, some of these pre-draft workout stuff and Cliff Kingsbury keeps yucking it up about Rondell Moore, I might see a potential flip opportunity before I take any of the risk. So I would just sort of be mindful of that. Kyler Murray jokes aside. Okay, we did Dallas. We did Buffalo. I do think wide receiver, again, I think they're in there. I was going to say no at tight end, but they did have they've had some link there to some tight ends. And so I don't know, you know, I don't know what their thought is on Dawson Knox sort of long term in terms of all of that. But I do think that they I think they had a meeting with Trey McBride, I think was the note that I've seen. Again, it's all over the place. But I saw that they did have that they are, you know, sort of perusing that market, if you will, being open to it. Cole Turner was one of them. Trey McBride has met with several teams, including the Bills, was the note that I saw. Isaiah Likely has scheduled a visit with the Bills as well. So they're in. James Cook has visited with them as well, or is scheduled to. You know, so we'll see there. They actually had a visit with Kyle Hamilton in case he falls, I guess, which I don't think they're going to have. But I think, you know, a pass catcher or corner seems to be really where their market is in the first round. Jordan Davis would be interesting too if he fell that far. Jahan Dotson, like, I think receiver there, I think it's either receiver or it's corner for them. And it wouldn't shock me if they traded up either. But watch on day two for a tight end and just be mindful of that. It's kind of how they've been addressing the position. Okay. Tennessee, maybe at quarterback. You know, we've seen, it wouldn't shock me if they started, you know, if they did some digging, right? If they, you know, if like a Desmond Ridder fell, something like that, and they took him late on day one, that wouldn't be surprising. They've met with Carson Strong. They met with another one too. I'm just checking the notes here. Sam Howell is one they've met with. They've scheduled a formal. They had a formal interview with Desmond Ridder as well. So they do seem to be doing their work on the quarterbacks. Albert Breer thinks Desmond Ridder is someone that they're potentially interested in specifically. So they've also added that they're looking Widemeyer McBride, the tight end position, Sky Moore is one that they've been in on as well on the interview circuit. So lots of stuff there again, and they're even in like Grant Calcaterra, Cade Otton, Trey McBride. Like they're linked to, they are doing their work on the offensive skill positions. Like, be very surprised if 26 comes and goes and it is not an offensive skill position. So just for what that's worth. Okay, Tampa. I've seen Breece Hall linked to Tampa, which gives me a mild amount of indigestion with our Leonard Fournette exposure. So we'll see there. They did bring back Giovanni Bernard, so, but they let Ronald Jones walk. So we'll see ultimately what that is. I think they're in on wide receiver there as well. Has been something that has been frequently mocked for, you know, and with Godwin injured, yeah, they could use another asset for sure. And we've seen that they work best with all three guys. So we'll see there. Fournette, it's worth noting, I haven't done a update on this. He has a $2 million guaranteed roster, a $2 million guarantee that becomes guaranteed March 19th of next year. His cap number is $8.5 million next year. And five of that's dead. They could save $3.5 million by cutting him. So it really looks more like a two-year deal for him. There's only, you know, there's not a ton of guarantees outside of really this year. And there's no guarantees in year three. So it is much more of like a 2-year deal that they could get out of after one. So just for what that's worth, I actually think like when you compare this to the James Conner deal, I think the James Conner one's more guaranteed next year than the Fournette one is. So it wouldn't shock me if they address the position. Okay, next up is, again, they might be in on, we'll see with Gronk too what their need is at tight end. All right, Green Bay, they need a damn wide receiver. So they pick at 22 and they pick at 28, 53, 59, 92. They need multiple pass catchers probably in that range. So tight end, wide receiver, 53 could be tight end one. That certainly is possible. Like that would be really saucy for Trey McBride. That'd really vault him up boards, I think. I don't think that he's going to get to 28, but we'll see, right? I think that's probably like the earliest you could see him come off. Multiple shots in the top 92, right? They've got 5 picks there. Multiple of them on pass catchers would make a lot of sense, I think, for Green Bay. All right, San Francisco, they've expressed I think there's some thought there that they might address the receiver position, but otherwise 61, 93, 105, Deebo Samuel is doing the popular wide receiver thing this year. So we'll see there. I'm putting their wide receiver situation at a maybe just right now. And we'll see what it looks like going forward. Kansas City, I don't think they're going to address running back, quarterback, or tight end. Yes, at wide receiver, they got 29 and 30. They've got 3 other picks in the top 94. Then they got 103 as well. So you could see, again, they might even be in a situation where they double dip and really try and add and flesh this situation out a little bit more at the receiver position. That wouldn't be surprising. And I think either if you get a receiver that lands in Green Bay or Kansas City, again, it could be wide receiver 5, 6, 7, something like that. Wouldn't be shocking that ends up going 1, 2, 3 in rookie drafts. So just keep that in mind for these situations. All right, Cincinnati, no at quarterback, no at running back. I don't think they're going to address wide receiver. Maybe at tight end, they did lose CJ Uzama. They bring in Hayden Hurst. I think Hayden Hurst is like a, you know, he's like a really interesting 5 for 500 guy at like a wide receiver 30, or excuse me, like a tight end 30 type cost. So that would be sort of my action plan there. Cheap buy on him. The Rams, they are not picking until 104. Maybe they're in the wide receiver position. That would be the thing that I would say. They could be in on a tight end as well. Maybe that's like tight end 4, something like that. 3, 4, somewhere in that range at like 104. Wouldn't be shocking. Higbee's underperformed his contract. So we'll see if they potentially start to develop for the future at that position as well. And again, I don't know if I think there is a vacant wide receiver spot if they want it, you know, if they sort of let OBJ go and, depending on what they think about like guys like Tutu Atwell and Van Jefferson and that, like we'll have to see. But I think there's definitely a potential spot there. All right, well, we're doing sort of a mega long pod. We might as well just throw in some of the grinding the mock stuff too. Make this just a total, long pod here, so you get plenty of your stuff early in the week on some of this content. I better make sure to not wait to put this out because who knows what's going to happen this year, and this could all be stale. Right now, 3 guys at quarterback projected in the first round: Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, and Matt Corral. Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, all in the second round there. I don't have any firm takes on that other than like I think if I needed one, I'd take one at the end of the first round, which would be my thought. Like take the one that you kind of like the most NFL wise. I haven't gotten to the fantasy part of it yet. I need to do more work. I'm working through wide receivers. We'll get tight ends nailed down, and then I'm going to finish with quarterbacks. I think that'll be more valuable information at that point. 7 guys currently in the first round of the wide receiver at the wide receiver position. That's Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Jameson Williams, Chris Olave, Treylon Burks, Jahan Dotson, and Christian Watson. I will say this. I have, as I've recorded this, I've gone through Olave and Dotson and written up my stuff, and I'm going to record them here probably when I'm done with this podcast. Dotson's fascinating to me. I really like Dotson. And we'll see. I think I like him more than Olave. Even though I was like an Olave guy early on, I think I like Dotson more than Olave. So we'll see how that ultimately unfolds. I don't like to make big, broad declaratory statements before the draft, because then I sort of I'll anchor to them, and when knowing the strategy is to really, especially at wide receiver, the strategy is to really pivot between guys. So just for what that's worth, if I had a pick, I think I would take Dotson over Olave, just because I think Dotson can do a little bit more. Then the second round, again, it's Ridder, it's Sam Howell, George Pickens, Sky Moore at wide receiver. There's two running backs here, Bryce Hall and Kenneth Walker. Breece Hall, I think I mispronounced it. Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Trey McBride also in day two there. So again, that fleshes out, right? You start thinking about maybe early second, you're getting some maybe higher end. Yeah. If you think, just if you start piecing together a board, what's it look like? I mean, I don't know what the interest on Pickett's going to be in some of these rookie drafts. I'd be really interested to see some of that data coming down here and what the, where he ends up settling out if he goes like to six at Carolina. And if Malik Willis goes in like in the teens someplace, Matt Crowell like later in the first, like what does that look like? We don't really have a ton of good comps for that in terms of super flex data. So I'll be really interested to see where that fleshes out. But I think they end up being first round guys, especially when you don't have a first round running back. I think like that's kind of the math that I would do, that all those guys end up going in the first round. You know, you get Hall, you get Walker in the first round as well. You get, you know, 6-7 of these wide receivers up in that range. You know, McBride ends up becoming like a later first into the second round, something like that. Pickens and Moore in that range as well. And then you start fleshing out the running backs. Yeah, I think that's kind of what the board may look like at this point. And where McBride falls in that'll be really interesting, because I could see him definitely being a target guy, you know, early to mid second for sure. Okay, third round, again, you're getting into some more depth wide receivers. Justin Ross is in that range, David Bell. So we'll see where they go. I think if Ross falls on day two, I'm interested. If he falls on day three, I think that's telling. I'll just say that. Spiller, James Cook, Brian Robinson. I think it's becoming more and more clear that James Cook is going to be a day two pick. It just kind of seems like where everything's pointing. Dulcich, Isaiah Likely, and Cole are all on third round NFL mock draft range there, according to Grinding the Mock. So again, you're fleshing this out a little bit. You know, that's more like second into third round of rookie pick range. You could do worse than that. I think in terms of, you know, if you're going to get some day two tight ends, you say, all right, like if there's a chance that maybe they fall late second, early into the third, something like that, you know, in a class that's kind of all over the place, like you just kind of regress to, right, what do you do? Well, you just take the tight end with the day two pedigree and just kind of move it along. That's kind of going to be your play. It looks like there's maybe a shot that a couple of those guys get in there this year. So, all right, well, this went longer than I expected, but we covered all the team needs. We covered all the draft picks. I think we did something else. I don't know. We did the Grinding the Mock stuff too. So hope that all helps. Again, this was kind of I had a lot of stuff sort of on the mind that I wanted to sort of discuss so they can get all that out. So, and again, I've been doing some of the shorter pods, so if you needed a little bit more fill in terms of some depth and density to your podcast, I hope you didn't hate it. So